Your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 28 this morning. Acts chapter 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 6 this morning. Please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Acts chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. And when they had escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul was gathered, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after that they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Father, of our freedoms and rights, that we can come and hear your word preached to us. God, help us not to take that for granted this morning. Help us to hear what your word says and then apply it to our lives as our pastor comes and preaches it. Use him this morning to help us to hear what your word has for us. And Father, I pray that you'd fill him with thy Holy Spirit to accomplish that. And then Father, lastly, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know 100% sure they're going to heaven when they die, that they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask you now to make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate so it does not go off during the service. Because if it does, here's what happens. You will have to produce your birth certificate before you can leave this building. So help us, please, and make sure. Aren't you glad to know the president is actually a citizen of this country? He's been the president for 2 years. Let's hope so. But and I'm going to ask you to sit and listen very quietly, please. There's two things I hope I never hear again: wedding and birth certificate, as long as I live. The Apostle Paul has just gone through a tremendous storm. Acts 27. Storm so severe that no one expected them to survive this storm on this ship while they were sailing. Paul knew he would get through because God told him that he would. So they survived the storm. Even though the ship is wrecked and they have to throw themselves into the sea and they swim, the Bible said, some on boards. That's why we don't have boards in our church here. You know, board of this, board of that, because the only place you can find boards in the Bible is after a shipwreck. Anyway, the point is they get themselves to shore. It's raining, it's cold, it's wet. Someone kindly there that lives in this country of Melita builds them a fire. And the Apostle Paul's gathering a bundle of sticks, the Bible says. And as he grabbed an armload of sticks and went to throw them into the fire, a viper, a serpent, was in that bundle of sticks and grabbed him by the hand and bit him. Apparently it was poisonous. The locals knew what kind of snake that was. When they said, "Oh, this guy must have been a murderer. He survived a shipwreck. Now vengeance is going to make sure he dies from this snake bite." The Bible says Apostle Paul shook his hand, the snake went into the fire, and he went on. They watched, and when nothing bad happened to him, they said, "No, this guy must be a god of something." The application from the message this morning is very simple. With all the compassion that I can muster in my soul today, I want to ask you, encourage you with this thought. Get over it. Now, you're a guest this morning and you came to church and you think that I'm not a very nice person by the end of this sermon today, you're probably right. No, the kidding. The truth is, there's a picture here, please. He's bit by a serpent, deadly serpent, should die. When they say, hey, he must be a murderer. Look at this guy. He got out of a shipwreck and look at him now. And the Bible said he shook his hand. The snake went into the fire and Paul didn't drop over dead. And they changed their mind, said he was a god. Basically, it's just a picture of how that when things happen to us in our life, there has to come a point where you just get over it. Now, I understand that flies in the face of every bit of psychology and psychiatry that's thrown at us today. Now, let me labor the point for just a moment. We've become a generation of whiners. Now, I'm not talking about people who have burdens and need help. I'm not talking about that. Please hear me carefully. I'm not talking about folks who come to their pastor and they have a problem and they need help with their problem. That's why we're here. That's what the ministry is for. I'm not saying that's not that, you know, well, I can't ever talk to you about a problem. You said get over it. No, I didn't say that. I said at some point we have to get over it. See, look at me. This is where the older generation can teach us some things. I'm sorry, but you don't live long on this earth and go through it with any kind of pleasure in life without getting to the point where you shake off the serpent and just get on with it. There has to be a get over it process, point in life where you just get over it. Say, but Pastor Johnson, you don't understand. No, I know I don't. I don't understand everybody's situation. And maybe what we could do this morning is, let me find it here. Hold on a second. We could take this microphone and I could just start over here in the corner with Brother Weaver. I know he's got a bunch of stuff in his life. We could start with Brother Weaver and then he could tell us his story this morning about his childhood and his upbringing and how his mom put his diaper on too tight when he was little and the things didn't turn out the way they should in his life. And then married a wonderful woman and it's been great to him. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Brother. Good. This is a very smart man right here. Let me tell you that. Then I could talk to Mrs. Weaver and say, how long y'all been married now? 43 years. And she could give us 43 years of what it's like to be married to Brother Weaver and tell us all about that kind of stuff. Then when we're done, I go over here to Mrs. Gary and how long y'all been married now? 57 years. And then she could tell me what it's like to be married to that man for 57 years. And he'll sit there and take it patiently. And then we can just go around the room this morning, get everybody's testimony about their life. See, Pastor Johnson, you're being very indifferent to people's problems. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I can't believe what people have to live with nowadays and the things they have to go through in their lives. I'm not being indifferent to that. Please understand that this morning. I'm not saying that your hurt is not real or genuine or what happened to you shouldn't break your heart or that you don't have a story or a testimony or a life or stuff and things in your life. I'm not saying that this morning. And I'm not saying it doesn't matter because it does matter. It's yours. It's your life. It's your testimony. It's what happened to you. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not saying it shouldn't cause us some difficulties or concerns in our life. I'm not saying that the troubles of life are not troublesome to us. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying this. Somewhere, somehow, some way, by the grace of God, we got to get over it. Otherwise, we are the walking wounded and we're going to spend the rest of our life crippled people. See, Jacob in the Bible in the Old Testament was a con man and a trickster. And after about 20 years of getting what he had coming to him, he's back coming back home to make things right. And at Mahanaim there, Jacob wrestles with an angel, the Bible says. It's called the angel. That's the Old Testament appearance of Christ, as it were. And Jacob and the Lord are wrestling all night long, and he prevailed not, the Bible said. So God reached down and grabbed Jacob by the inside of his leg and crippled him. And Jacob spent the rest of his life halting upon his thigh, the Bible says. But he didn't spend the rest of his life a cripple. He spent the rest of his life taking every step, remembering that he met with God and God won and he got over it and he wasn't a con man anymore. And then his name is changed to Israel, which means a prince with God, and he learned to put it behind him. The Apostle Paul would come to the same place. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Somewhere in our lives, we've got to find the grace of God to handle this thing, to understand what it means that there needs to come a point where you get over it. Otherwise, we spend the rest of our life forever crippled and forever limited because of what's happened. So, Pastor Johnson, you don't understand the mores of society. I've been in the ministry for almost 35 years now. My life is working with people. I love to work with people. I want to help people in their lives, knowing I can't help anybody. God's the only one who can. My desire is to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And I've seen God do some incredible and amazing things. If I didn't believe there was a God in heaven big enough to help us overcome the things of our lives, and that book wasn't powerful enough to change us and change us to what we ought to be, if I didn't believe that, I'd go do something else for a living. But I believe it because I've seen it. I know what God can do, and I've seen it, and I've seen it in my own life. But at some point, you got to get over it. At some point, you got to shake off the serpent and just keep on going. At some point, we have to get over it concerning this matter about salvation. Okay, now we've all done the dance and heard the songs and hear everybody talk about these people, these Christians, the stuff these people do. I was going to church and then this Christian did something and back and back and back. And now that's why I'm not a Christian, why I won't become a Christian, blah, blah, blah. And we use all the excuses on the planet. Somewhere along the way, we have to understand that the list of people who wind up in hell that's given us in Revelation 21 and verse number 8 starts with fearful and unbelieving before it ever gets to murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Okay? It starts with fearful and unbelieving. People whose fears about things will keep them from trusting Christ. People who will not believe and just trust Christ. Because that's what salvation is. It's trusting Christ to save you. The wonderful thing about salvation is you don't have to trust me. You don't have to trust the church. You don't have to trust another Christian. You do have to trust Christ. It's that simple. So now listen to me. So let's get over this thing. What is it in our lives this morning? Maybe this thing about salvation for you is getting over just admitting that you're lost. Primero numero uno, for you to be saved is you have to acknowledge that you need salvation, that you're lost. See, a church member is going to have a hard time acknowledging that. Well, I'm already a member of Shasta Baptist Church. I already told everybody I was saved. I already said I had salvation. But in the back of my mind, I've never really settled that thing in my life. Now, friend, look at me. You need to get over that thing. Nobody's going to be upset with you because you get saved around here, okay? Salvation is kind of a big thing at Shasta Baptist Church. We're just glad when people get saved. I don't care if it's church members or anybody else. You understand? I'm praying Brother Evans will get saved one day. I mean, I'm for everybody coming to Christ and getting saved. He's a saved man, I hope. Here's the truth. We're for that. You understand? You're not going to offend anybody. Plus, I wouldn't go to hell for anybody in this room. I just wouldn't do that. See, this thing about salvation, what is it now? Is it because you've come to a place where you believe, well, you know, I got a problem with some things in the Bible. Okay, now listen to me carefully. You cannot deny the Scriptures and be saved. You can't ask Jesus Christ to save you and not believe the Bible is the Word of God. Let me correct that statement. You cannot trust Jesus Christ to save you and deny that the Bible is the Word of God. You may not know everything about it, but you can't deny it. That's the problem our president has right now. He says he's a Christian man. I hope that he is a Christian man. I hope he is a saved man. But he denies the Bible. You can't do that and be saved. No, you cannot. You don't get to accept the parts you like and reject the parts you don't. That's the book, friend. You may not know it all, but you can't deny any part of that. The book of 1 John makes it very clear. You cannot deny that Jesus is the Christ and believe and know and be saved. You can't deny who he is. So let's get over it. The Bible is the Word of God. It's perfect. It's infallible. It's inerrant. And it's the inspired record of God given to us concerning any matter of faith, belief, or practice. And that book tells us we're sinners and we need a Savior and we must trust Christ to get saved. And that's what you need to have. Not just wishy-washy, mamby-pamby, pussy-foot, and ear-tickling, back-scratching, nickel-nipping, half-stepping, soft soap, and pink tea and lemonade kind of religion that's presented to people today. All you have to do is make a commitment to Christ and you're saved. No, you're not. You're lost. You trust Christ. That's how you get saved. Now, do you have that testimony this morning? If you don't have that, then let's get over it and let's trust Christ and settle it today. Just time to get over this thing. Let's get over our pride. Let's get over our stubbornness. Let's get over our thinking. Let's get over our religion. Let's get over our baptism. Let's get over our church membership. Let's get over all this stuff and let's trust Christ and get saved this morning, because that's what you must do to be saved. You must be born again. Please don't let the flaws and failures of people and religion and stuff keep you from coming to Christ. Please don't do that. All you have to do is trust the perfect, sinless Son of God to be your Savior, and you can be saved today. It's that simple. Let's get over it this morning concerning what people do and do not do, please. Look at this passage here. So there we are in Acts 28. There's Paul, who they don't even know who he is. Throws a bunch of sticks in the fire. A serpent attaches to his hand. They know it's venomous. The barbarian people that live there. What do they say about him in verse 4? He's a murderer. Whom he has to escape the sea, vengeance suffer him not to live. Shakes the snake off. They watch him to swell up and drop over dead. And when he doesn't, what do they say? Now he's a god. Yeah, that's people for you. From a murderer to God in less than 10 minutes. You get it now? Huh? You people sit there for hours watching this wedding this week. Come on. Honestly? Seriously? Unbelievable. Dude dressed up like a bellhop in front of a nice hotel in New York City. They say almost 2 billion people watch this thing. Almost 2 billion people. First of all, I hope it works out for me. You see, you know, they lived together before they got married, so I don't see what the big wedding thing's all about. But secondly, it's amazing to me. This young man's been through a lot. He's like, I hope it turns out for him. I don't mean no ill will to him or his bride and the people and the thing and the stuff and everything else. But ladies and gentlemen, while that was going on, 170 million of our people in America were affected by tornadoes that just ripped through this nation. There are dozens of people. They still haven't even found them yet. And everybody was concerned about what her dress looked like. Excuse me. They spent $300 million on the wedding. Now, the parents, the families paid for it. I don't know how you get that kind of money. The average wedding in America costs $27,000 today. All you dads with daughters, panic. Start teaching them right now, elope. Tell them you'll pay for the Elvis impersonator in Reno to marry them, elope. Okay? And so trying to catch some news, and everything is talking about the wedding. How much does she weigh? Who cares? They got four horses and a wagon to pull her down the road. Who cares? We got America getting ripped to pieces, people's lives getting snuffed out. Who cares? But that's people. Do you get the picture now? Listen to me. Some of us here this morning, you need to get over it. You need to get over the fact that somebody did something they shouldn't have done, somebody didn't do something they should have done. You need to get over that thing. You understand that? You need to stop letting people and who they are and what they are and their failures and all the rest of that be your excuse for why you don't do in the present what you ought to do, and you ruin your future. The Apostle Paul was a man with a past. He murdered Christians before he got saved because he thought that's what God wanted him to do. He was completely mistaken, but sincere, but completely mistaken. Then he trusts Christ, he gets saved, and he who once persecuted the church now becomes a preacher in the church. And he travels around, no doubt going to same places where he once killed Christians to preach to them now. He had a past. You get home, you get Philippians chapter 3 and just read that real slowly and real carefully. And see this man in his life, realizing what he was and what he had done and what God had saved him from. And then he'll make that statement, forgetting those things which are behind. At what point are you going to get over it when you forget those things that are behind? Well, I still remember, Pastor Johnson. I know. I counsel people, talk to them a lot, help them with their issues. And I'm not saying you don't have issues. Please understand that this morning, please. But come on, seriously now. Something that happened 20 years ago is continuing to shape your life today? Are we forever scarred for the rest of our days? We can never be happy now. We can never have life. We can never go for it. We can never put this behind us. Forgetting those things which are behind. It wasn't an act in Paul's life. It simply means he just kept pushing it back there. Under the blood. That's under the blood of Christ. God has forgiven me. I will accept that forgiveness. It's under the blood of Christ. Forgetting those things which are behind. Because you can't, if you don't do that, you can't reach forth into those things which are before. And you'll never press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm sick and tired of Christians going to psychiatrists and psychologists and expecting those people whose basic principle is rooted in humanism and that the issue of man's problem is rooted in man instead of God to get your problems fixed. You don't fix it like that. God's grace, my friend, will help us. But Pastor Johnson, you don't understand my life. You don't understand mine? Shall we swap stories this morning? See who gets the best violin section behind our testimonies? My dad's a Baptist preacher, runs out with one of the women in the church. Mother turns to drink, becomes a drunkard. I lived in this town as a drunkard's home, and a drunkard's home as a boy, where the stepfather used to beat us. Shall we exchange stories this morning? It's not like I haven't walked the path and gone the valley, okay? Do you understand that? And I use that, too, to blow off 10 years of my life, too. At some point, you have to get over it. Do you hear me? You have to. Otherwise, you're going to walk around with the serpent hanging off your hand for the rest of your life. And we are now the walking wounded for the rest of our days. And you know what? If you let one person shape and affect your life and how you live because of what they do or don't do, there'll be another one to come right behind them. And then you'll have. And then there'll be another one behind them, and then you'll have three. And if you'll forego the message this morning, I won't go to 4 and 5 and 6 and the rest of the numbers that come after that. Sometimes those people who hurt you, they'll come back and do it again. That doesn't make it right, dear people. You understand that? And it doesn't make it hurt any less, does it? No, it doesn't. But it's not up to them for you to get over it. That's up to you. A venomous serpent attaches itself to Paul's hand. He goes, flips it off into the fire. Everyone's going, he's a murderer. Look at that murderer. He escaped the sea. Oh, he's not dead. Well, he's a god. Yeah, you're a hero this week and a bum next week. That's how some people act. I'm sorry, but that's the way they are. Not everyone is fickle, just most of the people I met. The way it works, yes? So you're going to spend the rest of your life, now listen to me, you're going to spend the rest of your life the walking wounded, the snake bit? Or are we going to let God's grace help us get over it? By the way, the way to get over it with people is you ask God for grace to help you to forgive them. And forgiveness sets you free. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, with all malice be put away from you. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness sets you free. So you can just put it behind you and just go on with life. Because that's what we ought to do. Come on. So my dad left us when we were children. Still lives in this town to this day and still doesn't want anything to do with us. That's my father. I'm not speaking ill of him. That's the way he is. That's just how he is. Okay? I can't do anything about it. I'm 57 and he's in his 80s and that's the way it is and there it is and he's going out the way he came in and there we go. So now, look at me. So I have a wife that loves me and I love her. We have children that love us and we love them. We didn't kill them, so they grew up long enough and got married and they have grandchildren. That's why we found out why we didn't kill them while we were raising them. So they could give us grandchildren. justify all the in-law stuff. Because you got to have that. You're supposed to have that. Biblically, the way it's supposed to be. So we could have grandchildren. Yeah? Oh, yeah. It's all good. So I was watching my grandson this week, Joel. Year and a half. We're out in the backyard. Playing. Having a great time. And I'm going to ruin my time with my grandson because somebody didn't play in the backyard with me when I was little. See, boy, that's not kind, Pastor Johnson. No, I tell you what's kind. What's kind is get over it. You got to be kidding me. I'm going to enjoy my time with him. You hear me? I'm not going to do that. God's grace, if you get it right, will help you get over with what people do or don't do. Otherwise, the rest of your life, somebody's going to be in charge of you. You're going to be one of those nuts when somebody cuts you off in traffic. You're going to jump on the car and start banging on the windshield. You remember those loose pistols running around town that have no control over their passions, their life, or anything else, and you're miserable and you want everybody around you to enjoy it while you're misery. Oh. Get over it. Shake that thing off. Boom. Get a hold of the grace of God. If God can't help us do that, then what's the point of being saved? What's the point of being a child of God? You got to get over what's happened. Paul is bitten, shakes off the serpent in the fire, and just goes on. Why are we still using our past to excuse our present and the failures of it and alter our future and mess up people in life? You get right about the past by putting it under the blood of Christ and you go on. Yeah, but see, Pastor Johnson, here's what happened to me. And then we have our stories, and we do. Please, 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 dear friend, please do not think for a second that that doesn't mean I don't want to hear it, I don't want to help you. Of course I do. But you know as well as I do that at some point, if what has happened to us is forever all. I was with the family one time. They had a loved one who was murdered. Horrible tragedy. I mean a horrible tragedy. And they made this statement to me. They said, this has forever ruined our life. We'll never be able to get over this. Now, the wound was way too fresh to encourage them with any thought. But I thought to myself, we better hope that doesn't happen. I said, God will give you grace for this time. We'll talk another way down the road. But excuse me. Excuse me. If what has happened to us, we can't get over that. With grace, with the grace of God and time for healing and help. Those things, please understand. That doesn't mean something happens. Oh, yeah, well, there we go. I didn't say that. I just said after months and months and years, we're still, what has happened to us is still wounding us. See, we're in trouble now. Now we have put ourselves in a corner. What they have done to you is not as bad as what you let what they've done to you cause your problems. See, if they hurt us, that's their fault. You stay hurt. That one's yours. You know how Paul could just shake this thing off? Listen, it's the context of Scripture here. Acts 28, and when they had escaped, what had they escaped? Life-threatening, near-death experience. That ship should have sunk. They should have died, but God spared them. And because God had spared Paul, he got through it. Now he's at the fire and he gets bit by a snake. No big deal. Has not God delivered us, dear people? Has he not delivered us? Has he not given us salvation and forgiven our sin in a moment, wiped the record clean, justified us in his sight? Amazing, I have eternal life, a home in heaven. Jesus, my elder brother, what this life can do to me is no worse than what this life can do to me. I've already come through it, friend, and the grace of God already got me there. See, he could let it go. He could just let it go. Just get over it. Because God had just brought him through some amazing, a life-threatening experience in his life. God had delivered him from certain death. And that's what he did when he saved you. He delivered you from a certain death, eternal death, separation from God forever in the lake of fire and hell. And so what's the rest of it now? My brother Jack's 2 years older than I am. Our sister Cheryl is older than we are. When she was young, single, teenager, my grandparents had us, we were living with them. And she would have, we'd go up to my grandfather, he'd build a cabin up in the Cohasset, up in the mountains out of Chico. We'd go up to that cabin. Occasionally, she would bring a boyfriend with her up there. She had this one boyfriend, Danny Widener, still remember his name. He was in the Army. We decided to go out one day shooting birds. So you shouldn't do that. You're right, you shouldn't do that. And we're walking along, and Danny had a fear of snakes, which we didn't find out until we started walking. And so we're walking along looking for birds, and Danny's doing this. He had a bolt-action, single-shot .22 rifle. Now, if you don't know anything about weaponry, let me explain to you what that means. You pull the bolt back, pew, you put a bullet in, pew, pew, bang. Bolt-action, single shot. Pew, you shoot it, you pull it back, you put another bullet in, pew, pew, bang. And here's Danny walking around like this. He's looking at the ground. We said, what are you looking for? The birds are in the trees. He said, snakes, man, I'm scared to death of snakes. This guy was in the Army. Maybe you have a fear of snakes. I don't know. And Danny's walking around, he's looking down like this. We said, well, I don't think I've only seen snakes a couple times since we've been out all these years. That's not really. He goes, no, I'm watching, man. I'm telling you, I'm looking for snakes. Well, as he walked along, he stepped on a twig. And when he did, it flipped up over his shoe. Now listen, I ain't preaching, I'm telling the truth. This guy jumped in the air, got off two shots before he hit the ground. Now that's how high he jumped and how fast he cleaned and loaded that weapon. When he got done, we looked down and we said, that's the deadest stick I ever saw. That thing is... We back told our sister, that guy's a loser, man. You want anything to do with him? He just shot a snake twice. We're out there because he's scared to death of a snake. I don't know if Paul had an understanding of snakes in his life and ministry. I know this. When that snake bit him, he just shook it off in the fire, kept throwing sticks. What's the matter? Not proposing it for a moment this morning that you, by your own strength of character, can get over everything in your life. But see, Paul was in the will of God, doing God's will, and God helped him to just get over it. And that's what we need this morning. We just need to get over some things. God will help you. But for most of us, we like that snake there, don't we? Huh? That's a badge. We can show everybody I was snake bit at one time. We prefer the snake. I prefer to shake it off and just get on with life. God's grace will help you with that. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.